funny.
Oh, yeah.
There's a child here ringing you from the fucking Cadillac rock box here. Have to say some mighty fine grooving going on this record here. And, shit, I'll call you tomorrow. All right, brother Rocco.
Going back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic riff. So I don't know if that's like a real bit.
Yeah.
Like if that was a real call or not.
Yeah.
And they've like clipped it for the song.
And said, oh, that's a cool fucking name for a song.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, I don't know what happened. It's interesting though if that is real. If that's just how I think that's just how they talk. That's just how they talk to each other. Because it was a thing on. Have you seen? There's like three home movies that this is how big Pantera were in the 90s. They had three home movies, which were just 80 to 90 minute long, like collaborations of footage from the road of them, like with occasional music videos and stuff like that. Who else had that in the 90s?
Metallica. They had their what was it called? A year and a half in the life of Metallica.
I've never seen that.
They had the Black Album documentary,
yep.
Which was interspersed with road clips and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think it was a year and a half in the life of Metallica so before that as well.
But yeah, that's the biggest ones.
Yeah.
And Pantera are a lot more extreme.
Bit more than, niche.
Yeah, than Metallica.
To like, the casual listener.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's weird. Anyway, on one of those videos, there's a spliced together segment of, I think it was their roadie or one of their security guys they dress him up as the Hulk a lot. And it was just splicing clips together and they'd always just gone, whew. So that little thing at the end there is genuinely just like a thing that they thought was funny and would just do in conversation. Whew.
Yeah.
<That's> nerds.
Rich-ish nerds.
Yeah, rich redneck. There's about 4 minutes straight of Dimebag lent money to a guy in his hometown in Texas, and he's just drunk in the street with a bat.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, no, I think it was a bat, just hitting his car, smashing up lights and stuff like that. And it's just 4 minutes straight, and... It's one of those things where some people look at it and go, this is fucking hilarious and awesome. And I'm like, this is depressing. Look at these.
I know, these adults.
Yeah. And just in the neighborhood too, there's the houses are like a real... It's the typical like American... The houses are really far back. The lawn is...
Immaculate.
Or just boring. Just boring lawn, no garden. All the houses look the same.
Yep.
Just, I don't know. It was weird to see.
Very American. Very Americana. Maybe it was a metal thing, the home video kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because when Anthrax did Music for Mass Destruction, they had a bit of that stuff. And Rob Caggiano, their lead guitarist, was just like a 10-minute filming of him being blind as a bat on like a train. They were obviously taking a train somewhere on tour. And he was going into like the sleeping quarters and shit, pulling curtains back. They gave him a Subway sandwich with a heap of curry powder on it. Just shit like it.
Just dumb.
Yeah. It just goes to show what happens when you don't have to worry about money.
Yeah. And with what surprises me most is that this was before, like, this is when they had to have tape in a camera. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's expensive.
Yeah.
Like, tape was expensive. A camera was fucking expensive. And they just had this, they were just doing that. Shit happen, like, because it's so easy now, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
And that's why no one does. I don't know anyone who watches videos from a band anymore.
Yeah, maybe the occasional YouTube performance on a radio, like an online radio station or something.
Sorry.
Or a vlog.
Yeah, but no, like, I don't know, I don't want to watch behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, very rare
anymore.
Very rare.
It's I think it kind of ruins it for me.
I don't want to hear about the wank and the excess, you know?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, I only want to... All right, we'll get back to that, but we'll intro the show. Welcome to Unpleasant with Adam and Milk. We're doing a... We've changed it again.
Diversify.
Yeah, I'm going to... You remember how we were talking about... I was using Twitter too much and we were talking about that? So we're not going to do any Twitter stuff or any bullshit like that.
We're off the computer.
Yeah, we've totally changed. We're in a different room. We're not...
We're in our bedroom.
Ow. We're just doing... mixing it up. We're going to start it afresh. Anyway, welcome to Unpleasant. I've already said that. I'm Milk, if you're new to this. They call me Milk because I'm gay, like that man Harvey Milk. You remember the movie with I Am Sam?
Sean Penn.
Yeah, Sam. Him?
Sam.
Mm.
Was that his name?
Yep.
It's obvious it's in the title, isn't it? I thought they called you Milk because... no, I can't. I can't.
Why not?
So it was just going to be further down the track on the gay sort of joke. You know, when they start to get white towards the end of their...
Oh, yeah, AIDS. Lives.
Yeah, but yeah. I just thought it's just unnecessary, isn't it? I think we're better than that here at
And with me is five-star Adam Jacobson. As always, excited and enthused to... bring to you a new form of entertainment, which is not based on... things get confusing in this new era where the lines are blurred between what's real and what isn't. Reality TV is big, but it's not reality TV anymore. That's been squashed.
We can just remove the word reality from it.
Yeah.
Can't we? It's just TV.
And podcasts aren't real because it's a bunch of people pretending to laugh at each other, telling stories and jokes that they've been thinking about and planning for a long time.
Mainly just a slightly less annoying version of the radio.
Yeah.
Most podcasts,
yeah,
I would
just
say.
Yeah, just shoehorning in ads. But it's all right because we joke around about the product.
Yeah,
you're still just selling shit.
Exactly. You're still selling... your words and your time.
Yeah.
Today, I had a bit of a... I don't know if it was a crisis, because I know that's how I feel about advertisements, and I definitely never want to do them. I was in my car this morning, and I normally, if there's ads on, I just switch it over. It's only ever music or podcasts, and I sort of wasn't thinking about it, but could just feel the advertisements penetrating my ears. Like, I felt surrounded by it. I turned the radio off and just screamed, "Fuck off!" in my car and sat there in silence.
I know.
I feel like I'm just getting fed this shit from every angle.
And, I go through the same thing and I go, am I crazy? Am I the one that's losing?
That's how I feel. I felt crazy.
And you just go, because no one else is blowing up like this.
Mm.
It's like, are we losing our minds? Which will make this a great show. If we both fucking... if one of us loses their mind, the other one keeps his going, that's fantastic.
Perfect.
But, if we... are we losing our minds? Or are we just seeing things for what they really are, and reality's just in a very weird place at the moment where most people are just too busy to think about it. So they just don't... you know, they don't think twice. They just go, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And so we move on. But, all right, no. Let's strip it back to its origins, what it was originally for, what it's there for, which is radio was for entertainment, spread news, information, all that sort of thing.
People would sit around and tune in. Mm. They'd set that time aside and go, fuck yeah.
But now it's, did you hear what this person, did you hear what Kanye said that... Donald Trump was... what was
a player.
That's right. Yeah. That was in quotes on a broadcast.
Yeah.
I won't say which, but it was in quotes. Kanye West calls Trump, and quotes, a player, and that's why he likes him. Okay.
Fascinating.
That's not...
fantastic.
I don't give a fuck. I don't know why that's being... but it's all part of the spin. Anyway, we're talking about ads. The best example for me, one of the most, I'm going to start again.
Take a deep breath, Mel.
I watched a film, a few weeks ago. Now I've told Adam about this. So this is where it gets weird, because like people get in and do a podcast and they'll have a conversation and then they'll just try and come in and have the same conversation again. And that's weird. But I've told Adam about this movie, and it's a made for TV film, which I know you should be rolling your eyes at. But this was before HBO had Oz, which was their first show, which was their first original programming show, which was huge. Next and The level. Sopranos. Mm. Like, that changed TV. Anyway, so HBO had made their own movie, and it's called Citizen X. And it's about it's a true story of the first known serial killer in the USSR. And he was only caught after the USSR was disbanded and it became Russia and they were able to do things. Now, there's a really good scene where the one of the detectives, whatever, he is meeting with the head of the police and a few other like local politicians and leaders. Like, there's a KGB guy there, and there's one guy who's pretty much the like leader of that area, that district, or whatever it is. And he goes, "Look, we've found all these bodies. I think it's all the same person. Like, this is crazy." And this is the distinction between a communist regime and what we have in the West. And I think that it's a very simple thing in that we can say what we want. It's a real simple distinction, and that's it. But that's a huge thing. Now he gets there and he says this, we have this serial killer. And they sort of start discussing it. And this one guy, the one guy who's in charge, and he goes, a serial killer is a Western phenomenon unknown to the Russian. Or to, you know, whatever. And everyone else in the room shuts the fuck up. They sit back and then they end the meeting and they all leave. Now, the detective and the guy who runs the police force start investigating. They still do all the stuff that they needed to, but they had to do it all underground because politics was involved. They had to fucking... Anyway. I did have a point.
Yeah, that's all right.
The point was, okay, so if that exact thing happened in America, Australia, the UK, or, you know, any Western place, you can approach that subject and they can go, no, this is fucking ridiculous. But that guy can stand up and go, no, you're fucking wrong. You need to investigate this. I'm going to talk. He can't do that. Because this guy is in charge of everything. If he gets wind of them doing that, he can shut down. He can make sure they don't get food. He can make sure they don't get... They'll just lose everything. And nobody will do a thing. Nobody will say a thing. You'll just suddenly... People will start to ignore you and you will just go away. So you have to play the game constantly. So all you have is what you can say. Now, I think that's an important distinction because recently I had a boss who was just a fucking idiot. And I was quite happy to just call him that to his face. And he was a bitch, so he took it. He didn't bother him. Now, the thing was, if I lived in that place, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be doing the same thing, doing the same process. I'd be doing what he says, do all that sort of stuff, but I'd have to shut the fuck up. And just the ability to be able to express my own frustration is huge. I think it's a really big and important thing. Now, if I'm watching the NRL, which is rugby league, and there is a play that was quite good, and one of the commentators wants to talk about it, the Harvey Norman replay. They have to. So somebody scored a try in the corner and they go, oh, and here we are. We get to watch it on the Harvey Norman replay. So now that's an ad that they have to read. But not only that, that's an ad that has penetrated their mind so that they have to talk about it. They can't have a thought about what has just transpired without an ad being in their brain. That's I'm fucking. I. That's what I mean. This is. Am I losing my mind? Am I that? Because now they're controlling what that person says.
Mm.
They're not allowed to have a thought unless they preface it.
Yeah.
With something, with what they're paid to.
Yeah.
And that's. I don't know. I think that's a really important distinction to have. We can say and do whatever we want.
On the podcast.
Yes.
Adam and Milk can.
Yeah. We can. Yeah. We can.
Because we're not bound by that.
Yes. Yeah.
Contract, and everyone's bound by it because everyone just accepts it. Surely we're moving into a new era
We'd want to be.
We're leading the way, I think. I thought you might think we're losing our minds. I think we've gone to a new level. What do they call it? Trailblazers.
Well, yeah, I think the good thing is we're not the only ones. There are other people doing this sort of thing.
We'll have to. I can't remember if on the last couple of shows we badmouthed Case File, but which is a great podcast, great true crime podcast that started to go down the advertisement alley.
That's right. We I don't think we've brought it up. So just to fill it in, all right. So in the beginning, there was light. And no, I'm sorry. That was fucking. See, this is what I mean.
Start again, mate.
You just start doing things, and if I didn't have Adam here, I might just fucking continue on. But he's my friend, and I don't want to embarrass myself in front of him. So anyway, at the beginning of their show, you know, you get 30-minute episodes, 35. You know,
quality over quantity.
Yeah. It was just a show, and if that was what it was, and then it started hitting an hour long pretty consistently. And then you got an ad at the beginning, and then you got an ad at the in the middle mark, and you go, "All right, well, you know, I'm like you. We accept they're playing the game a little bit. They're going, all right, well, they're doing this, but I really enjoy the content, so I'm going to do it. I'll skip forward if I need to."
And it would have made sense to him because they got new microphones, this new gear that made it sound so much better. That suddenly had more time.
That's all good. That's all fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
But then I started listening to this episode about a sort of crime, and there's lots and lots of conjecture, I guess, I think is the word. Lots of unconfirmed things.
A lot of speculation.
And then it gets to an hour and you go, I don't think that was, what was that? And then, you know, all right, well, I'm going to keep an eye on this. And then you get to the next week and the same thing happens. What's going on here? They're stretching this out because they've sold ad spaces. So if you sell, if you've got a contract with somebody and you go, all right, well, we're going to do an ad for you and it's going to be, you know, 40 seconds, and they're going to sell it in an uncomfortable way where it's like, if you're like me, you need to buy the sharpest razors that you have available.
Yeah.
What do you mean if you're like me? I get it. How are people not embarrassed by that now? If you're like me, that's the equivalent of the spruiking. Is like, oh, this is now $49.95. That's right, folks. Nobody.
I can't believe I've never seen a spruiker just fucking drop their microphone and go fuck this and just walk away
and pick up a shotgun and just end it then and there.
Yeah.
So they sell ad space and they go, all right, well, but now they need to fill in that time because you have to have that ad at the beginning and you have to have that one in the middle. So what if you've got, artistically, what if you've got a project that only goes for 40 minutes and you've got an hour that you have to do to fill in this space? So they start to pad it out, and now your project's suffering. Now the thing that you're actually building, it's kind of going to shit.
Yeah. The narrative's over, so they start to say one internet user suggested, you know, like,
yeah, just speculation.
Fuck, what can we find to pad this out?
Yeah, why do I need to hear this? Come on, guys, you're supposed to be. I want to hear some people. I want to hear it improving. I want to hear it getting better,
especially with something like a true crime podcast.
Mm.
Sadly enough, we've all come to expect it on free to air television. But when he's talking about child murders, and then suddenly goes, what if I told you could throw out all your underwear? It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's just...
We can't just
have a wholesome experience
just listening
anymore
to child rape.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
No, you're right, because we're... Okay, so the perspective is a project and we're going to enjoy that. And it doesn't matter what it is, what it's about. If you're starting to dissect the content, then you go, well, then you're going to find issues. But what we mean is... Overall,
just as a media experience.
Yeah, but in its defense, it has gotten better. It's improved.
I
think they realized. I think that that was a correction that they made, which makes me respect them because at least they learned something.
That's why it's worth mentioning, I think, because I do like that. And they didn't make a thing out of it either. Just suddenly it was back to its old format.
Yeah.
And they didn't say, we've listened and we're going to give you what you... You know, just happened...
Because it is a bit of a... I've thought about that a little bit. It is a bit of a dangerous path to go down where if you start listening to people too much. Because you want to... You need to be flexible and you want to move with with your audience a little bit, but it also needs to be your own thing. You can't then tell people that, and then you're going to get hangers-on or people who aren't genuine fans who think that they can control what it should be.
From their computer chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a totally wild thing anyway. I was thinking about this earlier because I'm a big fan of caffeine. Very big fan. And as a guy, I don't drink coffee. And so my first exposure to caffeine was a no-dose, which is a caffeine pill. And I took that and I was jittery and all over. I was fucked up. I was on drugs. And I've gone, holy fuck, everyone is a drug addict. Yeah. This is insane.
Day in, day out.
It's and it's open. It's I need a coffee in the morning. Okay, so you just need your stimulant.
Actually, you know what? Don't even fucking speak to me until I've had a coffee. It's like people wear t-shirts and shit.
Yes.
Me before caffeine, me after caffeine. You know. Imagine if that was fucking cocaine.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the point? Yeah. Sorry, of what I was getting to. Kurt Metzger, who, if you're unfamiliar, is a kind of funny guy. Who was one of the main writers.
Like us.
He was one of the main writers on Sacha Baron Cohen's new show, This Is America.
Who is America?
Who is America?
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen. He has a special out, which I don't think is very funny. I turned it off pretty quick. But it's called White Precious, which is pretty funny to me. Anyway, he was on the Joe Rogan Experience with somebody else. And if you go to the internet, oh my God, he's on cocaine. He's off his head. He's on coke. This is crazy. This man's on too much cocaine. He's going to have a heart attack. Oh, this guy's coked up. And so if you, this is an interesting perspective to take, is to just picture yourself as a historian and you're trying to get to the bottom of something. So if you go to the internet, according to the internet, yeah, this guy's on cocaine, he's fucked up, whatever. But if you watch it, you go, oh, well, he doesn't leave. He's there for 3 hours. He
doesn't openly do cocaine.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't snort in front of Rogan and Jamie.
Yes.
It's not going to happen. So, and he's there talking about nitro coffee when he's there, and it's this fucking crazy big hit coffee, whatever. And he might be an Adderall guy himself as well. So if he's on Adderall, which is essentially meth, which everyone says anyway.
Mm.
So that's not new information. But combined with that, it all sort of fits in my mind, because I'm very sensitive to caffeine and I've had that and I've just gone, holy fuck. I know a lot of
people
will
say the same thing. Who don't normally drink coffees. And then they'll, like, one guy was telling me, doesn't drink coffee, went and got a cappuccino at Smoko at like 7 a.m. in the morning and was charged up.
Yeah.
And was just like, fuck, I don't know if I can work.
Yeah, just like just chatty,
yeah, exactly.
Talking to everyone, just like, you start doing something and then you're 5 minutes into it and then you have to go start something else too when you come back. It's crazy.
And you've got to have something to do if you feel like that.
Yeah.
You start to go get paranoid and shit.
Yeah, it'll affect that. Yeah, it'll definitely affect your mind.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, so that's what I mean. Like if you go to the internet, you'll get one thing and you can't, what are you going to do? You're going to trust that? You're going to trust that one group? And you're also only getting the people that use the internet, which is, use the internet as a forum to post about things. So that's a small amount of your audience. And then there's an even smaller amount of your audience that uses one particular place to post about something. So you're just getting skewed and information.
And realistically, you're only going to get what comes up on the first page of your Google search.
Mm.
And you're not going to go further than that. Most people.
Yeah.
I don't.
I need to make the switch to, it's called DuckDuckGo, which is a very, very bad name.
Mm.
But they came up, I think, last year, or earlier this year maybe, with a big push against Google for just all privacy concerns. They're just like, look, guys, we don't do all that sort of stuff.
It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is uncomfortable.
Just how much they know about me Googling possible medical problems. Just Googling symptoms at two in the morning on private mode so that it doesn't come up later.
Yeah. When you're typing in something in front of somebody, it just comes up with your past couple of searches.
Blood, piss.
I got a privacy sort of state, like a change of terms and conditions, and it was the first one that I ever really read through from an employer. I mean, all these places do it, but they record every single scroll and click. And there was, you had to give permission that if they wanted to access it, they can access recordings of your screen. So once you log in, whatever activity you do on that page, there's a recording of it that can be accessed.
What?
And presumably that's happening with every web, I mean, anytime you access the internet. Okay, I can show it to you later.
That's crazy.
Every click, every scroll, and full on recordings of your activity.
Wow.
I know. It just makes me want to. I mean, not. I don't have anything to worry about. But yeah, just the idea of it.
But yeah, it does. It makes me uncomfortable. It's the because same you go, as having, whose fucking business is it?
It's like when I'm on my phone and I can tell someone sort of looking over my shoulder. Mm. Like, I'm not doing anything, but can you please stop that? It's the most uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah, because it's none of your fucking business.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I do want to get back to. I'm gonna try and eliminate that from my vocabulary. Get back to, but I want to make that something for the future for me and the people around me is just mind their own business.
Yeah, exactly.
like if someone wants to talk about something, they can. If they don't want to, that's fine too.
Yeah, we're really just stripping things back, aren't we? Stripping back the program, stripping back the ideals. And I'd just like to say, while we were talking about Google and DuckDuckGo, that we didn't make a Bing joke because we're better than that.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Exactly. That's
a great point. You cannot hear a person go, oh, yeah, this is the first one to come up on Bing.
Fucking hilarious.
That's really funny. Fucking hell. And they think, see, that's, and we'd have to, if, all right. So let's say, here's what the original plan was. Me and Adam did sketches for a long time.
How many did we do? We did 48.
Over 50.
Over 50. Yeah, we did over, that's a lot.
Yeah.
We got some data, and some data.
And we've got plenty more written, ready to go. So the plan was we do that as like a creative experiment, figure out what can work, what can't work, and it really makes you think about, you know, what's funny in the room and what's funny on the screen. It can be very different things. Anyway, you don't need to hear us break down comedy like every other fucking
Let's
show.
We don't do that.
But just put yourself in our mindset and go, all right, well, we want to be funny and we want to like create good things for people's entertainment.
Yeah.
So we do that and then we'd move down to Melbourne. We'd sort of start the stand-up circuit, all that sort of thing. Oh, yeah, well, we've got to get our names out there. We've got to sort of get involved. So we'd be doing if we did a show, somebody else's podcast, and they made a Bing joke, we'd have to laugh at that.
Exactly. And maybe even follow it up with an Ask Jeeves joke.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's it. I can already play it out in my head.
Because that's what they want to do. They want to follow the fucking script of what they think what they think's funny. We were making Bing jokes when we were 17. Come on, man. We got to grow up. Yeah. We got to move on past that
point.
We
can't just accept it.
Yes.
I just want to scream. Like when I was hearing the ads in my car, I just screamed. Just expletives. It's the same when I'm in a situation like that. I just want to fucking scream.
Because, everyone there is aware of it.
Yeah. I know. That's what I mean.
You've all heard this before. This isn't funny and original. But that's what happens. It's an isolated industry, which everyone's trying to get into because it's bigger than ever now, which I think is very interesting because I can include myself in that wave of like people who saw Louis C.K. and went, fuck, This is hilarious. This is the new way of comedy, all that sort of thing.
He's got it.
But the moment it sort of penetrates that amount of people, that idea, it's kind of done. Mm. It's over now. Colin Quinn said, whenever comedy's popular, it's actually bad for comedy, and it's true. That's because now you've got hacks.
Yeah, it's saturated.
Which in my opinion, like he says, bad for comedy, but he's a comedian. I think it's great because now we can all point at them and laugh.
Yeah, exactly. it's the upward swing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the pendulum.
Because if you like, I consider myself a reasonably funny person, and I don't think I'm even the funniest person that I know. I definitely don't. Now, if you think you're a little bit funny and you go, oh yeah, I want to be a comedian, do all that sort of stuff, all right, you start doing funny stuff and being funny, then you're going through your life and you get faced with a decision where you've either got to go home because you know that's just what you should do, or you go, I don't know, do something stupid where you meet up with a tranny or whatever. You know, you're going to do something a little bit crazy.
Walk home through the park at night.
Oh.
Jacob.
I wish we had Starvebot.
He would have loved that one. Wouldn't he?
It's a shame it doesn't work on my phone. Anyway, so there's what I mean. We don't have a computer, so we're just doing it. Anyway, so you do that decision because you know it's going to make a funny story that you can tell on stage. So are you living your life anymore, or are you living just a series of experiences in the hope of creating funny content out of it? And is that it?
Yeah, then what?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't trust them because they're not making... they're not relatable anymore because they're not living a life as a human being. They're living a life as a, oh, maybe this will be funny.
I know.
That's...
Imagine touring a comedy show and just having to do the same cues every night and just force it.
That's what...
I mean, I know bands do it and plays do it, but comedy's a different thing.
To me, it is. To us, it is.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, exactly.
And I guess, I think maybe that's one of the main points, one of the growing themes of our show is that, yeah, this is kind of, if that's what you like, that's fine. But I think we're going to, that idea is going to change for a lot of people, and it's going to change for a lot of people. And I've brought it up before. Just a guy making sounds isn't funny. I don't want to hear him doing a story and then going. Yeah. And just take away the crowd laughter. Take away all that. And now that's just the guy. Like I've seen it. I've seen it in front of me at work, where somebody's doing something to excess, and they make a weird noise and stuff like that just to try and bring a laugh, and everyone just looks at him and goes, what the fuck? Those are those people. The comedians are those people, are the ones that everyone else is like, all right, can we just go away because you're a fucking
annoying
idiot.
Yeah. Everything that comes out of your mouth's a fucking joke and it's not funny. It's the most annoying thing. You just want to... Yeah.
The best laughs I've got have been from people who have just overheard my own comments to a person that I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
Just stupid sarcasm things. Just somebody standing in the way of something going, oh, yeah, no, that's a good place to stand. That's all right. And just somebody will hear it and just go, yeah. They'll catch my eye and they'll go, oh, yeah, that's right. That is fucking dumb. But I can't. But if I was a comedian, am I meant to go and make a scene about that because then I've got something funny to say?
Yeah.
But no, I won't do that. I'll just lie about it. So I was on my way in. I was in the taxi on the way here and I was talking to the taxi driver. No, you weren't.
No. You were sitting in the taxi, nothing happened, and you sort of thought, that might be funny if that happened, and you turned it into a story.
So you wrote a story around it. You performed it for a few months. See, if you took an average person and just gave them, just said, you here, be funny, just a person who works hard, they'd be able to be funny.
Mm.
They'd be able to get through a set on stage.
Yeah. And they go, thank fuck, that's over.
Yeah.
And
it just wouldn't. So where's the fucking, where's the creativity? I just think there's a lot of lazy cunts who don't want to put in the work, who don't want to do anything, which is fine. But you're doing somebody else's work. You're doing it's a path that's already laid out of you've learned the lesson. You've learned, if we just do this for long enough, we'll be fine and we'll.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get
pass.
There.
Yeah. It gets a pass mark.
Exactly. I know the structure to get to that point. Whereas, I guess maybe we're doing the same thing because, well, we both work. That's the thing. We don't want to trade it in and just be like, oh, we're going to do this now. We will maybe eventually, hopefully, but we've got to make sure that it's worth it. We've got to make sure that we're putting something out there that's good.
And original.
Yeah.
And what we want it to be.
Exactly
above
right.
Above all else.
And if it isn't what we want it to be and it fails. No, sorry. If it is what we want it to be and it fails, yeah. Then that's good.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy with that because I'd rather just bomb and just have a podcast that 100,000 people listen to and make fun of for being shit if it's what I intended to put out.
Mm.
But if it's something that, you know.
Exactly. feels good to get those things out.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe that there are people being.
I want people to, if you're listening to this, if anyone ever makes a Bing joke around you, just tell them to stop it. Just because you know it's bad, and I know that you know it's bad, but you've never said anything. Next time, just say something and see how it feels.
Yeah. If you see something, say something.
That's what I want. If you see something, say something. And call us here at Adam and Milk.
You know what? While we're on it, improv is gay.
It's pretty low, isn't it?
Improv comedy.
It's like going to a class to learn how to be funny.
Fake energy, fake enthusiasm. Oh, we're going to do... We're wacky, guys. We're wacky. Careful, you never know what they're going to throw out next. Now, there's something that you need to listen out for as well that you might not be aware of.
That's okay. We got you.
Well, this is what we're here for. If you're listening to shows, Legion of Skanks, Come Town.
Hamish and Andy.
Oh, you'll hear that a lot. You'll hear it on... Somebody will make a... They'll make a joke, which is a very, very obvious... Like, we know it's a joke. You don't need to throw it in there. See, now, this is the thing that we... myself and Adam are actively working on, which is... Just you got to let a joke land, but you've also got to carry on the conversation. But these people get so caught up that they panic, and so somebody will say something, and they'll go, "Oh yeah, so Adam came in today, and he did a shit so big that he waddled in because his asshole was still dilated." And like that'll be the joke, which, you know, and he'll just go, "Oh yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true." If you hear him say that in the middle of that, what contribute? It's not true. It's a joke. We know it's a joke. You just saying it's true.
Because you feel like.
Yeah, because they just go, "Oh, we've just got to keep this happening. This is going to be funny to maybe."
And then what? And then you got to find something. You're back to square one. You're like, fuck.
Did we
write something down to go to?
I want
to
be there. I want to be there for all of these things and just look at them in the eye and go, no.
Observe.
Because that's what I think is the problem, is all these shows, they're so isolated. Now, when I say isolated, I mean isolated within their own community. Now, our show is isolated because we're isolated from entertainment. we're isolated from... the media and entertainment, because we don't know any, we don't know those people, but we know real people. We have real friendships. But if you're part of that whole thing, they're all just lying to each other constantly. So if we were there, we'd just go, why would you do that? Why would you really put the brakes on that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand what you're doing.
You're not being yourself. I know that. You're not being natural.
Yes.
Yeah.
They sell something. Oh yeah, it's just a natural conversation, just some guys hanging out, just joking around.
Yeah, we know.
I don't believe you, really. I think you've got an idea in your head, and you're creating something, and you're trying to sell it as that. Because they're always trying to sell it. You got to remember that. This is their problem with advertising. They're trying to sell it. Now we're okay with ads if the product is good, if people aren't being made uncomfortable by it.
If it's, if it's not shoehorned.
Yeah.
As an advert, all right, we've got to stop the proceedings here no matter how good, no matter how well it's going. We just have to stop right now and talk about this thing.
Yeah. Which we never would have talked about of our own free will. So essentially what we've done is we've sold out. So all the little all the little neurons and things in your brain that fire, we've just sold all of that. Sold space in my brain
yep.
to to sell something for us, for someone else, somebody else's product too. See, now I respect dudes who sell their own stuff. If you're advertising for your own show, and your own gear, whatever, that's cool. I like that, because you're creating something good and you're putting it out there. It's just like people who start their own business. Like, I respect that. I reckon that's very good.
Yeah, as long as it's not selling candles.
Who sells candles?
Fucking heaps of people sell candles.
Do they?
Yeah. This is part of why I had to delete my Facebook app. So I just couldn't, because you would just, I mean, I don't know, what's it called? It's not quite multi-level marketing, but it's multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
Where you sign up and you're like a salesperson, you're like, a rep for these companies. And I mean, it used to just be Avon and Tupperware, and now it's like candles, the shit diffusers, all that kind of stuff. It saturated. And then I saw a post once and it was like, you'll willingly give your money to big corporations like McDonald's, but you won't spare a few dollars for your friend who's trying to sell these products. And they're always, because everyone just knows that it's a scheme. So that, like, someone who is selling these fucking capsules, like health capsules, 30 servings of fruit or whatever per capsule, would have to just go, we laugh at people that call us multi-level marketers and stuff. It's just trash.
That's insane. See, now, I'm going to bring up our friend, Team Judd, who had a fight recently.
He won.
And yes, he did, convincingly.
Marvelous.
Now, the positivity that I've seen just sort of surround that guy it's very interesting to see, because it's just a guy who's really trying his best, who's putting in the work. And when people put in the work and they do it themselves,
it's a magnet.
People are just like, fuck yeah, I want to help this guy out. The people who are selling this, now if you're selling this shit, stop listening to our show.
You can come back. But there's some things that need to be
corrected. Yeah, you got to sort yourself out. I welcome you. Come on. You can email me and have a fucking conversation about it. I'll talk to you. But you got to sort something out, because you're selling other people's stuff, which... Okay, sorry. My main problem really is with what you said about supporting like a meme or whatever, saying, but you won't support your friends...
Yeah.
No. It's not about that. I would support my friend if they were selling something cool, if they were selling something of their own, but they're just trying to make money.
You're selling shit.
Yeah.
And you know it's shit.
If they were trying to help people, let them help people. I'm not stopping them.
Yeah.
Helping people isn't dependent on other people. It's your own thing.
Yeah. That's the thing with Ricky, though. He attracts all this support and attention and asks for nothing.
Yeah.
That's the difference. If you just do your thing and you believe in it, people recognize that.
Yes.
And it's like a fucking moth to the flame.
Yeah, it's crazy. All these people, and it's like-minded people who have started their own businesses, who have done stuff themselves, who have gone, fuck yeah, this is great. And so they, when it's available, they'll help out where they can.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see. I've never seen anything like it.
You can make money stacking shelves, and you don't have to ask your friends to just suspend belief in reality and go, oh yeah, I'd fucking love some of these soaps. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's crap.
And why would you put that pressure on your friends? These are your dudes. These are your people.
My sister has told me stories about how she's been invited places under false pretenses and got there and discovered that it's a party to sell these things. Like, you know, it's just a get-together. It's just afternoon tea, or it's a tea party or whatever. And suddenly they start trotting out these catalogs and products.
That's fucking sick.
With order forms, like, attached
to
them.
I'd fucking walk out.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck, man?
That's what we want to try to inspire, that attitude. Because they didn't. Everyone stood there and just went, oh, yeah. And then after it, we're like, fucking, can you believe this happened?
Yeah, you've got to say something.
It'll keep happening.
Because that's fucking insane. Like, it's very different. Like, I'm friends with people who own businesses around town, like, you know, people who run restaurants and stuff like that. You know, when you're just you're somewhere frequently enough, and you can become friendly with them because you're in that area. It's a very different thing when you are actively walking in there and you're just, you're fully aware.
Yeah,
and exactly. You know, there's no false pretenses.
It's no illusions.
Because I know that they're being friendly because they're selling stuff. That's fine. But eventually you sort of break it down a little bit and you go, oh yeah, no, we're all right. We get along with, but it's, everyone's aware.
Yeah.
To do that to your friends.
Yeah. Of all people. That's because that's somewhere inside. I mean, it's you. It's your bosses who have tricked you into selling this shit. But it's you as well. You know that the people that are least likely to say no to giving you money are those people. I mean, you go up to a stranger. Like, fuck, and I'm not buying a fucking container off you. Please get away from me. Your friends are... you're going to have some friends who'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. I could actually use one of these.
Yeah, so I'm just going to sell out a friendship for however many years for 40 bucks worth of fucking stupid containers.
It's the ultimate deceit.
It is. That's
especially when
sick.
A cut of that money goes to the company.
Yeah. I'm genuinely disgusted. Yeah. I'm really fucked up by that.
And I put on the same level people who try to crowdfund like comedy things and
it's
have just if you just get on the page, I don't know, Kickstarter, Possible, all those ones, just have a look at what people are just asking for money to do.
You know what? We're not going to do it this week because we're doing it.
Yes,
we're doing a special thing. But next episode, what we'll do is we're going to get on Kickstarter and GoFundMe.
Yeah, we'll get I'm sure you can search by categories. We'll look at maybe entertainment,
and we'll check this out because yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've seen it by established comedians,
yes,
and they want more money, and it's like, you're already in that profession. Put your own money in behind it. Yeah. Obviously, you should. Oh, it's a bit of a risk, though, so I don't really want to.
Yeah.
Well, then why would anyone else have faith in it?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't believe in it enough to take a risk, then it's going to be trash.
Yeah.
Especially if you think, well, it's not quite at that level, but I am willing to just ask to be given money.
Yeah.
Because then either way, if it flops, then it didn't cost me anything. And some people might enjoy it.
Just hand out.
That's not good enough.
Just when you see this stuff, again, like we're asking you, just indulge us for a little bit. And like Adam said with the Bing situation, say no, like bring it up to them.
Just say no.
Now when you see these things begging for money, look at the person's picture. And just hand out, just like blank face, and they've got their hand, single hand, palm up, just out in front of them.
Yeah,
that is what they're doing. That's them, and I don't want to do that
with no guarantees whatsoever.
Me and Adam have put a lot of money into developing our skills, developing. I don't know what the fuck we want to... I don't know what you want me to say.
And time.
We've put money, we've put time into it, we've put in work and effort because eventually it's going to work out in our favour because things... It's developing a skill, it's developing something that will be worth it. You need to make sure that the risk is there. We're in that risk stage and that's worth it. It will be worth it and it's about pushing through that boundary. But if you've just got your hand out... Already, if you got your hand out and you're already getting paid for things,
yeah,
what?
And we've never asked for a thing,
no.
And there have been numerous times where we've just had a barrage of support where we probably could have and probably would have gotten some money, but how would that help us?
Yeah, we're not at that.
Even done 10,000 hours yet. You know what I mean? The whole 10,000 hours to do a craft. We're probably fucking halfway there.
Yeah, I think so.
We've got to give ourselves the best chance to get it right
and
to fail and stuff before we start going, some strangers and my friends might give me some money.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Well, that's the other thing
too. How far? You're at step one. You haven't even taken a step yet.
Yeah. And like that's the thing. We steering it away from because I don't want to betray my friends. Mm. I don't want to betray the people around me, the people who know me. Because they might have expectations about what something should be or whatever. So like we said, I don't want to sell them Tupperware. I don't want to sell them some shit and then not be friends with these people anymore over fucking $50.
Exactly.
For a project that didn't get off the ground or didn't turn out the way that they liked it or any of that shit. I want to live a normal life. I want to live a good life and just work on creating something entertaining.
And being accountable.
Yes.
That's how it should be.
And as an independent human. Now, we're going to take a short break. Just grab a quick drink and a piss. We will be back.
Going to go and cross swords.